So, good morning. Happy New Year. Yeah. This thing seems a little high to me. Does it seem high? Huh? I look a little bit like Dean. I'm sorry Dean's not here. He really wants to be here. He said his bronchitis has returned with a vengeance, is what he said. So, whatever that means, we need to pray for him and hope he gets better, because it's been going down now for more than 2 weeks, I think, and it happened, 10 days before Christmas. So, I beg your pardon?
Coming and going.
So, anyway, thank you so much for letting me be here with you today. As you know, I say this every time, I love Creekside Bible Church. I love Creekside Bible Church. I love you guys. I love being here. It's good for our heart. It's good for our soul. It is. It's truly good for Ann and I to be here with you. Now, I'm not sure if everybody here knows us. My name's Alan Bryant. My wife, Ann. Okay. We do mission work in Albania. We have for the last 13 years. Before that, we were in here, Faith Bible Church, and for a year with Creekside, the first year that Creekside started up, we were with you guys. So we're home now for several months for some furlough, some recovery. Ann's got to have some foot surgery, so we're here for a little bit. Okay, and let me see, it's 10:32. I tell everybody when I preach in Albania, I said, I hope you brought your lunch with you. You know, because you can eat a little bit if I go long, you know, you can go ahead and eat. So I have a question. All right. This is New Year's, right? New Year's, we celebrate, we have, you know, it's festive. I'm not a big New Year's guy. I don't know about you. I'm not a huge New Year's guy. I'm like, Ann thinks she kind of married a boring guy because we just don't really celebrate much. But, you know, the culture around us is going to be celebrating a new year that starts tomorrow, right? Tonight at midnight. So what is the connection between New Year's, okay, midnight, January 1st, and the kingdom of God? Okay, there is a connection, I think. All right? So that's an opening. What is the connection? Now, Albania, you know, Albania is a former very strict communist country. All right? Was. But New Year's is the most important holiday of the year. They celebrate New Year's like there's no other, there's no other day, truly. They, at midnight, what they do is this, okay? Ann and I have only been there like for two, because it's crazy, all right? I would just really prefer not to be there on New Year's Eve, because it's crazy. I should have had a video from. What they do is everybody goes to the grandparents' house or to one of the older uncle's house or something. Albania is a family type culture, so the family gets together. I don't know what time they get together, 7, 8 o'clock, and they have a big meal together. Albanians eat turkey on New Year's Eve. That's tonight. The majority of people in Albania, let me see, what time is it right now? It's 6 o'clock, almost 6 o'clock in Albania. Pretty soon, you know, the mom's already killed the turkey or the grandma, and they got it in the oven, and a little bit later on, they're going to eat some turkey together. All right? People buy their turkeys 3 weeks before, a month before Thanksgiving. They begin to feed them to get them fattened up, and then they take care of them at home. Okay? And Ann and I have done the turkey. We've done the killing of the turkey business. Okay? But they'll have a turkey. They're going to go. The thing is, they go to their family's house. All right? And they'll have a meal together. It's very important. And then tonight at 11:30, 11:45, the fireworks start. And then at midnight, it's just amazing. You can sit out on the balcony in the whole city. It's like Woodlands 4th of July celebration, the whole city launching fireworks. It lasts for about 30 minutes. And then after the fireworks, okay, you go to a, a, a bar, okay? You go to a restaurant, okay? And you dance and you drink and you visit and you party until about 5 in the morning, okay? And then you go home and you sleep till about noon. This is almost everybody does this. Everybody's awake at midnight and they stay awake and then they sleep. And then about noon, 1, 2 o'clock on New Year's Day, they start family visits, all right? And so you'll go to maybe a cousin's house that didn't come to your party, and you'll drink a coffee with them and eat some dessert with them and talk with them and visit. And then you go to another house, and you go to another house. And then on the 2nd of January, you do the exact same thing. You go and visit your family or your good friends. And so it's a day for visiting. So nothing happens on the 1st and the 2nd of January because they're celebrating. I think what it is, I'm not sure why, but it's like this one day a year we're released from the tyranny of communism, right? And so we're going to celebrate like crazy because we're all together and we're released. And it's a time for family also. All right, so it's kind of like Thanksgiving is a little bit for us, all right, except they celebrate it crazily, all right? Lots of celebration. So what do we do? You know, for us, it's celebration. It's not so much family, but we celebrate. And then we begin to say, wow, I need to reboot. You know, I'm a little bit tired. I got all these, you know, and my buffers are full, all right? So I'm going to have a restart when I go back to work. I'm going to have a restart in life. I'm going to make some New Year's resolutions, right? And so it's kind of a new beginning for us. And then after a few weeks, it just gets back into the same old grind. But it still is celebration, all right? And so I think for a believer, how is New Year's and the kingdom of God, how are they connected with each other? And I think the answer is celebration. Because in the kingdom of God, every day is a holiday. And every meal is a banquet, right? Just like in the Marine Corps. But the kingdom of God is like that. Every day is a holiday, and every meal's a banquet. And we celebrate because we're related to God through Jesus Christ. Celebration or joy, I want to talk about joy today a little bit. Joy is a natural response or an expected response to a grace relationship with God through Jesus Christ. All right? That's my premise today. You know, when we think about it, when God created Adam, he said, and Eve, he said he blessed them and he said, go to the garden, take care of the creation. All right. I've given you good things. I've given you a good environment. I blessed you. Go and enjoy. We were created for celebration. We were created for joy. All right. Jesus says that, you know, these things, if you stay connected to me, all right. Stay connected to me so that your joy may be full. Right? Joy is a characteristic, is maybe the love, joy, peace, right? One of the primary characteristics of a member, a citizen of the kingdom of God. It should be. In 1 John, he says, you know, our fellowship is with each other. Our fellowship is with the Father. Our fellowship is with the Son. I want you to know this so that your joy may be full. So I've been thinking about this for several weeks, about the spiritual life, about our walk as a believer. Next week, Dean's going to talk about illumination, hopefully, next week, okay? And talking about God using His Scripture, okay, and enlightening it in our heart so that we can see the path and we can walk on the path. And those that walk on the path should be experiencing joy. and we should be celebrating together. Jesus says there's two roads. He doesn't talk about joy, but there are two roads, right? There's the wide road and there's the narrow road. All right? The wide road leads to destruction. The narrow road leads to life. We enter it through faith in Jesus Christ, and it leads to life. And while we're on it, we should be joyful and should be experiencing and proclaiming joy. We know at the end, right? What does John say in Revelations 21? He says that when God makes all things new, he says the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Right? There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain. Former things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." When we are with God, there is joy. And for us, as kingdom people, we need to experience and to celebrate and to rejoice. So, the passage is Romans chapter 5, okay, verses 1 through 11. Now, I never really considered this passage to have anything to do with joy, okay? And I think that's why Paul wrote it. The more I think about it, I think that's why I wrote it. I think about it being the gospel. Okay, this explains the gospel, explains the love of Christ. Okay, but Romans 5, 1 through 11, we're going to focus on verses 1 through 5. But let me read the whole thing for us, okay? He says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's given to us. For when we were still sinners, Christ died for the for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, with whom we have received the reconciliation." Verse 1 and verse 11, kind of like an envelope that put everything in the middle, right? We have peace with God. We are made right with God. And that is cause for great rejoicing. And the word that Paul uses for rejoice here is like, it's translated exult, okay? It's something that I'm going to talk about. It's something that's going to just come, it's consume my person, right? I've got to talk about it with great passion and with great joy in my heart. So three things I want us to see. The basis, we're going to go quick, okay, 15 more minutes. The basis of joy, okay? The uniqueness of a believer's joy, the basis of a believer's joy, the uniqueness of a believer's joy, and then how do we get it? What do we do to help it grow into our life? And the basis, I think, of joy is grace. Paul says that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And I think it's very important that we understand this idea of grace. Okay, and we all know what grace is. I've been a believer for 50 plus years now. Okay? And grace is Christ's riches at God, God's riches at Christ, whatever. Christ. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Okay? Unmerited favor. All right? But God, grace comes from the heart of God. He is gracious all the time. And when I think of grace, I think of grace with respect to justification. Okay? With respect to salvation. God sent Jesus. He died for my sins, even when I was a sinner. I didn't deserve it, but He was gracious, and out of His grace, He sent Christ to die for me. That is true, but God's gracious every moment of the day. When He sends rain, that's grace. He doesn't have to send rain. He doesn't. You know, Jesus says that, you know, God sends rain upon the good and the evil. And I think grace is the freely given, unmerited expression of God's goodness that brings us great joy. You know, joy and grace are from the same words, the same root in Greek. And so it's not just good news, it's good news that brings great joy. Grace is. Okay? You know, God shows us mercy in the place of the judgment we deserve. And I think that's what Paul's doing here in verse 6. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, when we were helpless, God came and died for us in the person of Jesus Christ. All right. He shows us mercy in the place of judgment. What does he say? We have been having much more, having now been justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. We shall be saved from wrath. We get mercy in the place of judgment. That's God's grace. But not only that, he blesses us with life today and in the future, okay, in ways that we cannot fully understand. So grace is significantly, ultimately, what is it? It's shown in the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, right? But God's grace pervades all of our lives, all of his creation. It's interesting. I just discovered this verse not too long ago. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 7. You don't need to look. Paul says that he's raised. When we were dead in our trespasses and sin, he made us alive together with Christ. He raised us together, made us sit together in heavenly places, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards Jesus Christ. We can't understand how cool eternity is going to be. We cannot understand. He's going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace in the future. That's what we have to look forward to. And I propose that even today, we don't fully understand the way that God's working around us. Okay, the grace that he's showing us. And I try to look for it. Okay? And I would encourage all the folks around me, look for it. Look for the way that God's working in your life. You know, grace is like, I've gone to prison. I've committed a crime. All right, a heinous crime. And I've got maybe a life sentence. And all of a sudden, somebody comes in, your debt's paid, and they open the jailhouse door and says, you're free, you can go. Okay? But not only can you go, we've got this cool, huge house built for you, full of appliances and dishes and food, and we're just going to finance your life from now on. Right? So you're released, but you're also given life outside of jail. What happens in our society? You go to jail, you pay the time, you come out, your life, you're condemned the rest of your life. unfortunately. God's not that way. When we, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. The debt's been paid. God doesn't hold it against us. So we stand in grace, and it's cause for great joy. Now, what happens in New Year's? We have a cool party. We celebrate. We see family if you're in Albania, okay? And then you come home, you talk about New Year's, you go to work the next day, you talk about New Year's for a few days, you know, and then something, you're excited, and then you make New Year's resolutions and something happens. Oh, bummer. I thought it was going to be a good year, but apparently it's not going to be a good year. You know, I had hoped that it was going to start off great, all right, but something happened, all right? God doesn't operate that way. And Paul says, look what he says, I rejoice in the hope of the glory of God because of the grace in which we stand. It's cause for hope in the glory of God. I've got a future. All right. I'm going to see the glory of God. I'm going to experience the glory of God. All right. And I love these words. I don't know what it says in all the translations. And not only that, it's not just salvation for the future. Not only that, we rejoice in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, character, and character hope. See, our joy, our New Year's comes every day, even when life is not going so well. We still have cause for rejoicing. So the basis, that's because of God's grace, okay? And the basis of our joy is the grace of God. And it's important for us to know it's not just for the future, okay? It's the grace that we experience today. So the basis of our joy is the gospel. It's God's grace shown towards us through Christ that He shows each and every day. Now, the uniqueness is it's not based upon circumstances. Our joy, our celebration is not based upon circumstances. It's unique because the world's joy is based upon circumstances. Right. If I've got a job that I like, that challenges me, engages me, if I've got a supervisor that's a, you know, pretty cool dude or gal. Right. If I've got, you know, my home's paid off, I've got my family's close by, I've got all the things I need, all the circumstances, the environment that's favorable to me. Then I can experience happiness, joy in my heart. All right? But what happens, okay? It disappoints. Right? My job becomes boring, or my boss changes, or I lose money in the stock market, or my health goes away. And those things that I had created, this life that I had created to bring me joy, ultimately disappoints me. And that's the reason that our joy is unique, is because it's not based upon circumstances. It's based upon what God has done in Jesus Christ. Now, what do we do when things don't work out for us? Have a relationship that I think is significant, maybe at work, maybe I'm dating or something like that, or I've got a job, and I think it's significant, and it begins to go south. And I begin to struggle inside, right? And I know I'm struggling, so I don't like it that I'm struggling, so what do? I begin to detach, right? I begin to say, you know what? It just, that doesn't matter to me. That relationship doesn't matter to me. My brother and I had a fight. It's irreconcilable. You know what? It's not that important to me. You agree or what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? That's what we begin to do, is to detach. It ends up making us not human in a way, because we're made for joy. We're made for relationships. And this idea of we rejoice in tribulation, knowing that tribulation is going to work in our life. And tribulation, ultimate joy, is found in God. All right, that's what Paul says. Verse 11, not only that, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've received reconciliation. We have peace with God. We have a relationship with God. And that's where our joy should be found. And when I base my joy in a circumstance, I'm going to be betrayed. Correct? I'm going to be disappointed. So tribulation comes, and ultimately it drives me to God. All right? It says, you know what, Alan, you found your joy because you had this cool 1990 pickup. All right, nobody else has it. All right, you go out and you look at it like, I heard a rumor that one of my brother-in-laws, I only have one brother-in-law, right? I have a couple of brother-in-laws. On my side, my sister's husband bought a new Volvo. He's wanted one all of his life. Right. And my sister says he goes out and he polishes it every day and cleans it, makes sure, you know, it's like, finally. All right. And he obsesses over it. And one day it's going to get scratched. It may get in a wreck. It may, who knows? Okay. And he could experience some tribulation. Not that a wreck on a Volvo is tribulation. Okay. Or an Audi. I think it's an Audi that he has. Okay. Tribulation drives us to God. It makes us understand that these things that we, these temporary things, these good things that we hold as ultimate things, they cannot bring joy. And true joy is found in God through Christ. And tribulation, we rejoice when it comes because it helps us run to God. You know, and friendships, new cars, nice houses, good jobs, good supervisors, those are gifts from God. They are. And we should be joyful and we should be thankful for them. And we should express joy in them, but understanding that they're conduits of God's grace towards us. And when we begin to hold the things as ultimate things, they're going to disappoint. All right? And so tribulation helps us go to God. And then that helps us enjoy the good things that are around us, whatever they might be. You might not have any. I mean, it could be an Albanian. The only good thing you have is a friendship. Okay? Ultimately, that friendship, if it's an ultimate thing for you, it'll disappoint. But enjoy the friendship. It's a gift from God to you. But hold Jesus Christ as your ultimate source of joy. So the basis for joy, believer's joy, is God's grace. Okay? The gospel, what God has done and what God is doing for us right now through Jesus Christ. What's the uniqueness of the believer's joy? It's not based on circumstances. Okay, it's in God. All right? And so how do we get it? And I think it's this already not yet type, already not yet aspect. Okay? You know, he says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In Romans 15:13, Paul says, now may the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy in believing, so that you may abound in hope of the glory of God. You know, we know there's going to be a day where we're going to be able to see the exceeding riches of God in Christ Jesus. That's hope for us. Okay, we know that's hope. But what God's done, He's given us a piece of that right now. He says that now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And I think as we learn to walk in the Spirit, okay, as we learn to live into grace, okay, that we begin to have a taste of hope, all right, and that causes our joy to increase. And that's pretty abstract, okay? It is. But it's truth that when we learn to listen, and Dean's going to talk about this next week. It's why illumination is so important. When God opens our eyes to what He's doing for us, and the Spirit begins to speak to our hearts, the natural outcome is joy. All right? And so how do we get it? We listen to the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. And I think we learn to receive grace and we learn to give grace. And I think that's why Paul puts this right here. He puts these three verses. For when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. When you were sinners, Christ died for you. You are secure in His grace. You stand in His grace. And we need to live into that as much as possible. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. Okay? We need to live into that. And basically it says, you know what? I didn't deserve it. I did not deserve it. I'm not that good of a person. I may think I'm that good of a person, but I'm not that good of a person. Alan, you think way too highly of yourself. All right? God didn't save you. God didn't bring you into His kingdom because you deserved it. You were a sinner. You were ungodly. But He poured out His grace upon you. And I need to learn to live into that. I need to see both sides of it. Okay? The ultimate, how much in need I was, and the depth of God's love shown to me in Jesus Christ. And that's cause for rejoicing. And also I need to learn to be a grace giver. That, you know, I might tend to judge people. I might tend to think, you know, look at that person. Look what they do that's just not right or what's not good. And I begin to judge in lieu of showing grace that was given to me. He says the love of God that was poured out on our hearts. And we learn to show love. We learn to be grace givers. Who's maybe the most unjoyful person in the world? Somebody with a critical spirit. Right? Somebody that's always, they suck the life out of you. It's like, I can't go there. Because every time I go, all he's doing is, you know, judging other people and talking about other people. And nothing's right with the world. Right? Work is terrible. You know, my supervisor does this. My spouse does this. The world does this to me. And it's just, so for us, learning to show grace is important too. So in the place of a critical spirit, we show grace and God uses that to increase the joy in our hearts. I also think community is highly important. I really do. I think in the in Israel, Joy was a community event. And joy, rejoicing, and I forgot something. Rejoicing, I think, is a spiritual discipline. I don't know if you've ever heard that or not, but I think it is. I think we have joy in our heart, and rejoicing is when the joy comes out of our heart. It's an expression of the joy that we have. And that as we... Caleb, where's Caleb? Is he in here or not? Some of these songs we sang today were just great. They really were. And we talking about what God's done for us. And together, as a community, we rejoice. All right? It's more than worship. It is worship. But it's worship with joy. And that we practice rejoicing. We practice expressing the joy that we have in community. And the Holy Spirit uses that to increase the joy in our life. I really think that's a spiritual discipline, that an expression of my gratitude, my heart's desire or appreciation or happiness with what God is doing in my life. Whether it's tribulation or troubles, Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. I like the way the New King James interprets it. You know, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. And that happens when together in community, we start to express joy. Let me read a psalm, Psalm 98. It's amazing. I think Paul had this in his mind when he wrote this chapter. He said, sing to the Lord a new song. For he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a song, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar. You know, you think maybe this is a millennial type verse passage, right? But it says, let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands together and the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the people with equity. Because of Jesus Christ, all of creation should be clapping their hands, shouting for joy, especially God's people. All right. So what's the connection between New Year celebration and the kingdom of God? Remember? In the kingdom of God, every day is a holiday and every meal is a banquet. All right. So let's rejoice for what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. All right. Let me pray for us. Lord God, thanks so much for Jesus, for your grace shown to us in so many ways. Oh, Father, you are a good, good Father. Help us to see that, Lord. Help us to see you in every step that we take. Even when things around us don't look good, Father, we know you're still there. We know your kingdom is never in trouble. It's not, Father God. Our kingdom gets in trouble, but your kingdom never does. And Father, that's a good thing. And help us to be people that rejoice in you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that you've poured into our hearts with abundance. And help us to be more than enough people, O Lord, that our relationship with you is what's key. And what we have is from you, and it's sufficient for our joy because we know, Lord, that you can set a table for us. You can set a banquet for us in the midst of the wilderness. We know that, O Lord. And help us to see it and to respond to it together with joy and thanksgiving. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Morning at Creekside Church in Spring, Texas. We're glad you joined us. For more information, please check out our website at www.mycreeksidechurch.org.